knock on our door.
Come knock on our door.
We've been waiting for you.
We've been waiting for you.
Where the kisses are hers and hers and his. Three's company too.
Thank you for knocking on our door, and welcome to the Regal Beagle Podcast, a podcast dedicated to the much-loved television sitcom Three's Company. Here we review and discuss each and every Three's Company episode covering all 8 seasons in chronological order. My name is Danko, and joining me today is my friend Barrett Martin, notable drummer for esteemed acts like The Screaming Trees, Mad Season, Tuatara, Skin Yard, The Walking Papers, The Levy Walkers, C.D.L. Davis. He's also a producer, a composer, ethnomusicologist, and an author with his upcoming book, The Singing Earth, coming out this July. Barrett, welcome to the Regal Beagle Podcast. Good to have you here.
Hey, Mr. Jones. Thank you so much for having me. I'm honored to be here once again.
Yeah, this is your third week on the podcast. I'm very happy that you said yes to this. And I look forward to your thoughts on this episode, because the last two have been great to just hear your thoughts on Three's Company, my favorite show of all time.
And a show that I, you know, of course, we're children of the 70s. We grew up watching television because that was before the internet, before the machines took over.
Yes.
And so there are certain TV shows in our childhood that were very, very impressionable. And I think this is one of those shows that really steered our social consciousness. And that's kind of what we're talking about.
Well, this episode is Season 2, Episode 9, Chrissy's Night Out. It aired November 15, 1977, written by Stuart Gillard and Phil Hahn. A notable thing about Stuart Gillard, he's Canadian. We got a Canadian on board via Three's Company writing staff here. And directed again by Bill Hobbin. So the story goes for this episode, Chrissy hasn't come home. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. Jack and Janet are nervous and worried. But then Chrissy comes home. She's in tears because a guy she liked at the club she was at, the Funky Fox, mistook her for a hooker. The guy tracks Chrissy down, knocks on the door. Jack punches him out cold. And before the guy has a chance to explain himself, it's found out that he's actually Detective Lanigan of the Vice Squad. So now Jack is in deep trouble. He's facing charges for assaulting a police officer. But then Mr. Roper comes in again, explains to Detective Lanigan that Jack is gay, or actually a fairy, as Roper calls him. Detective Lanigan lets Jack off to avoid embarrassment from the other police officers. What are your thoughts on this one? This seems a pretty loaded episode here.
Yeah, this episode of all of them, it, as you said, it's the most loaded. There's so much going on here. Okay, so let's start with the fact that, Chrissy's propositioned. They think she's a hooker, but not because she looks like a hooker. She just happens to be in a place where they frequent. And so there's this immediate, she's identifying, you know, with a certain, an archetype, I guess, because that is an archetype. And she's offended by that. And then we find out that the guy that propositioned her is a police officer. But as the episode progresses, you find out that, well, he's not a very good police officer. He's actually kind of creepy. In fact, they use the term creep.
Yeah.
Jack punches him out because, you know, Jack's got this great, you know, kind of heroic character where, you know, he has to pretend to be something that he isn't, but he's also like he'll throw a punch when he has to. And then, as you said, Mr. Roper intervenes at the end. But there's all this stuff that I was thinking about. Okay, so that episode is, what, 77?
Yes.
Okay, 77. Okay, so we're right kind of still in the mid-70s. Stonewall riots happened in 69. And, of course, for your listeners that aren't aware of that, that's the beginning of the gay rights movement. That's when the gay people at the Stonewall Club in New York finally fought back against the police that had been abusing them and beating them up. And that's the beginning of the gay rights movement. So it's only 7 years later, 8 years later, and let's also remember that in the United States at that time, there was terrible police corruption in New York City and Chicago and L.A. You know, there are all these stories about the police being involved in prostitution and in drug dealing. And it took a very long time to clean up that image. And every now and then, you know, that stuff still happens. So they're making a comment about the state of American police at that time. This is shortly after Frank Serpico, the New York police detective that uncovered the corruption in the NYPD. You know, they shot him in the face and he survived. But then they went on to make the movie about him called Serpico, starring Al Pacino. Mm-hmm. This was like really serious stuff in the United States in the police departments. And so that episode is commenting on that. Like, here's a police officer. He's a detective in the Vice Squad. And he's, you know, basically still hitting on Chrissy and trying to get a date with her. And then once Jack hits him, and Jack hits him not knowing that he's a police officer, right? That because he doesn't identify that he's a police officer when he comes into their apartment.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, and he's swaggering around and, you know, acting like a tough guy, and Jack knocks him out. And so now the cop wants to transfer the aggression onto Jack, you know, for assaulting a police officer, even though he never identified himself as such. And he's only let off the hook because Roper intervenes and says that Jack's gay. And of course, the machismo of the cop is like, well, you know, I can't let it be known that I was knocked out by a gay guy. And, you know, lets him off the hook, basically. So it shows, you know, prejudice, it shows intolerance, and it's a commentary on the state of the police in the United States in the mid-1970s.
See, I didn't know it from that perspective, watching it when I was a kid in Canada. Yeah,
right.
I guess, you know, well, what you're saying has to be true. I mean, when they put the funky fox in the storyline, even me, I'm just going, who would go to that? But I guess back then, those places were very, there's a lot of them there. And
right.
It was one in every city, I would suppose, if not two or three.
Yeah. Well, I mean, okay, so you know, you're watching this in Canada, you have the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. I mean, they're known for their, you know, badassery and their honor, and, you know, I think we all respect the Mounties. But in the United States it wasn't the case. And I mean, just even last week in Seattle, you know, the Seattle Police Department is a very respected, honorable police department. I mean, in Seattle at least, you know, they're respected and we care about them, you know, because they protect our city. But they just had to arrest one for being part of a drug ring. So, right. I mean, this was just in the Seattle Times last week. So, I mean, this kind of thing is still going on in the United States. I mean, there's still corruption in the police departments. I don't think that's totally gone away. I think they've gotten rid of most of it, but it's obviously still there. And with, you know, police shootings and things like that. But in 1977, it was a real serious problem in the United States. And I really think that's what the writers are commenting on.
There's within the story, within the characters themselves, this one is a bit of a transition, I think, for Jack, because in the last episode, Cyrano de Tripper, where he was cooking for Chrissy, when he finds out that Chrissy is on a date, he acts like a jealous boyfriend. And here on this episode, he's not jealous. He's more of a protector. And
that's,
I think,
right.
From here on in, I think the writers decided to not play with that whole jealousy thing because it could muddy the waters and turn it all gray. And they really made the lines really divided and just becoming more of an older brother than, you know, someone trying to get at her.
Yeah, I mean, I think we have to, it has to be stated, you know, Jack Tripper is kind of one of the great heroes of American television comedy, right?
Agreed, I mean, 100%.
And the actor John Ritter, you know, like, great actor and incredible physical comedian. You know, you talked about pratfalls and things like that, but every episode, his character is doing something physical. You know, he's doing break falls. He's, you know, juggling and having, you know, like these, you know, kind of spastic attacks and, and freakouts. And it's totally hilarious, like, to watch it, you know, his physicality and his humor. But his character is what's great, you know. He has to pretend to be something that he isn't. He is basically looking after two, you know, young, beautiful American women that he, you know, maybe he has feelings for Chrissy, and sometimes he has feelings for Janet, but ultimately he loves them and he protects them like they're his sisters.
Yeah.
And so he'll kind of do whatever he has to do. He'll pretend to be something that he isn't. You know, he'll knock out a corrupt cop if he has to. You know, I mean, he'll kind of go to the line for people that he loves. And yeah. that's what I love about that character, is that, you know, he's actually a real man. Like, whatever he is, whether he's gay or straight or whatever, he's a man, and he'll protect people and he'll do the right thing. That's why people loved his character.
Yeah, it's true. The other thing I wanted to mention about this episode is Detective Lanigan.
Right. Who's played? Yes, that actor went on to play several police officers, including the corrupt police chief in L.A. Confidential.
Yeah, James Cromwell. And he was actually nominated for an Academy Award in 96 for his role in the movie Babe. But yeah, in L.A. Confidential, yeah, he was a cop. It's amazing. Yeah. It's amazing that it started from Three's Company.
I know. And he's a very young James Cromwell, but it's definitely him. And it's funny how he really, because in L.A. Confidential, you know, he's a really bad cop.
Yeah.
And he's really good at playing that character. It's kind of like, it's like the actor Dennis Farina, who was an actual Chicago police detective. And then when he retired from being a detective and he became an actor, he actually played police characters throughout his career.
Yeah, he was amazing.
but yeah, James Cromwell is he went on to become a great actor. And And is that actually his first TV credit? Is that his first appearance?
I'm not sure. I don't have his IMDb in front of me. No, but I don't know. but it's just that his face is so familiar. Even when I see him in movies like L.A. Confidential now, I go, wow, that's the guy who – that was one of Chrissy's old boyfriends. Like, it's the first thing that comes to my head, because I completely connect him with Three's Company first.
Wow, that's the first time I ever saw him. So
yeah,